Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Happy holidays, everyone. It's shaping up to be a white Christmas across much of East County, and we'll have details in our weather report. Then on Green Scene, hear how California is fighting to prevent fracking off our coastline. Next up, there's a bright spot among all that disturbing news out of Syria amid the fall of Aleppo, where a young girl who captured the world's hearts and minds with her online tweets is now confirmed to be safe, along with her family. Hear more of her harrowing story on today's show. San Diego Sheriff's deputies delivered some holiday gifts to families in need in East County and other communities thanks to some secret Santas, and we'll have the details. And up in Sacramento, a bill has been introduced that would require presidential candidates to disclose their tax returns if they want to be on your ballot in the future. On our Capitol Report, we'll have news about Donald Trump's nominees for key environmental posts, plus learn how California is pushing back to protect climate data from the incoming Trump administration. From Public News Service, learn about Trump's meeting with high-tech executives from Silicon Valley about jobs. We'll also have news about a state Supreme Court action to block implementation of a death penalty initiative approved by California voters, at least for now. A La Mesa woman has a unique holiday story, and it all started decades ago when, as a child, she sang about wanting a hippopotamus for Christmas, an action that yielded a surprising result and inspired generations of children to dream big. Hear about action by supervisors to allow development of lands formerly protected by the Forest Conservation Initiative, as well as more changes coming soon in the Alpine and Descanso areas. From Public News Service, learn about some holiday scams to avoid, and here's a hint. Be sure to listen to this story before you pick up one of those gift cards displayed on store aisles this holiday season. We'll also have news about a Cuisinart blade recall due to injuries to some consumers, so if your food processor is on the recall list, you may want to plan some extra time for all that slicing and dicing if you're preparing the holiday meal. On Destination East County, we'll have some amazing events coming up across our inland region, including New Year's Eve festivities, a performance by Ben Vereen, outdoor ice skating, hikes, and other adventures to start off your new year. Then, straight from the Arctic Circle, we'll have a report on why reindeer are shrinking. Next up on sports, get the latest news on the Aztecs at the Las Vegas Bowl. We'll have a Christmas Eve story from the De Anza expedition long ago in East County. And then we'll end our show today with some holiday music, including an excerpt of the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra performing Vivaldi's Gloria, the U.S. Air Force Band's rendition of Sleigh Ride, and the Children's Choir singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. We hope you'll enjoy today's special show on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. Communities across East County's mountain areas are enjoying a white Christmas, with snow falling down to 3,500 feet. That includes Descanso, Pine Valley, Ramona, and Julian, with up to 6 inches of snow expected atop Mount Laguna. Now, there will be also gusty winds of 30 to 60 miles an hour, so if you're driving this holiday weekend, please be careful. The rain is much needed after 5 years of drought in Southern California, but cool, dry weather will be returning early in the week. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, this is Miriam Raftery.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Jonathan Goetz with the Green Scene Report. California's Attorney General Kamala Harris and the Coastal Commission have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of the Interior that seeks to prevent fracking, acidizing, and other risky well treatments on the outer continental shelf off our state's coastline. The action challenges an Interior Department assessment earlier this year, which concluded that fracking offshore poses no significant environmental impact. Harris says we must take every possible step to protect our precious coastline and ocean. The incoming Trump administration, which has voiced skepticism over climate change and appointed fossil fuel industry supporters to key posts, is expected to be friendly to oil and gas company interests over environmental concerns. The suit, if successful, could potentially block fracking offshore. Attorneys in the case contend that fracking and similar well stimulation treatments increase water and air pollution, also posing hazards to marine life. Coastal Commission Chair Dana Boschko sums up the need to preserve California's seashore, stating, "Our coast is a treasure that we must preserve and protect for future generations, and we must not take unnecessary risks with it."
7-year-old Bana Alabed's tweets in the fall of Aleppo, Syria have drawn global attention to the plight of people trapped in the city in recent weeks, also sparking comparisons to the diary of Anne Frank. An anguished plea during recent bombings followed by days of silence led to concerns that Bana may have perished. But now word has come that she is a survivor. The words of Anne Frank, a young teen girl, taught the world what it was like for a family in hiding during World War II. Her diary wasn't published until after the war, which she did not survive. But Bana's diary has shown the world in real time the drama of life in a war-torn city through an even younger child's eyes. Bana's mother, a schoolteacher, set up the account hoping that the stories of Bana and her two younger brothers, ages 5 and 3, would help persuade the world to come to the aid of families trapped in the city. Bana's account soon drew over 300,000 followers on Twitter, revealing a child's innocence scarred by the ravages of war. Meanwhile, media outlets reported on the Assad regime massacring civilians as the city fell. In one photo tweeted from her account, Bana held up a hand-letter cardboard sign which read, "Please stop the bombing and end the siege," urging her followers worldwide to stand with Aleppo. Some tried to discredit Bana's family for sending propaganda, but many more praised the young girl's courage. On November 29th, Bana posted a photo of her home that had been bombed, along with a moving message which read, "This is my reading place where I wanted to start reading Harry Potter, but it's bombed." Her words prompted author J.K. Rowling to send a collection of Harry Potter ebooks for the trapped young girl to read. On December 1st, Bana's tweet grew more grim. "I'm sick now. I have no medicine, no home, no clean water," she wrote. "This will make me die even before a bomb killed me." Then, on December 4th, Bana's mother, Fatima, sent a dire tweet. "We are sure the army is capturing us now. We will see each other another day, dear world. Bye." The account went dark for days, leading to the fears that the family had not survived. But on December 19th, Bana tweeted, "I escaped from East Aleppo." CNN later confirmed from Turkey's foreign minister that the family will be offered a safe haven in Turkey. A relief worker said that Bana and her family escaped safely to the Aleppo countryside in a harrowing journey aboard a bus with no food or water for 24 hours. Bana's mother told media that she left her soul in Aleppo. Despite their ordeal, Bana and her family are among the lucky ones. On Sunday, December 17th, buses evacuating refugees were set on fire. Other people waited in freezing cold with no shelter. Efforts by the United Nations Security Council to secure a ceasefire, even temporarily, to allow for safe evacuations have been repeatedly blocked by Russian vetoes, so the evacuation resumed with no action by the UN. At least 4,500 civilians have been evacuated from Aleppo in recent days, including 47 children trapped in an orphanage, some in critical condition. The war has killed at least 400,000 people and forced millions to flee their homes. 1,000 or more of the Syrian refugees have come to San Diego's East County. Though thoroughly traumatized, they now have hopes to build new lives in America, as generations of immigrants from around the world have done before them. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ Radio, the Network for Social Justice, this is Rebecca Williamson.
The
holidays were made brighter for many families in need across our region thanks to three secret Santas. These generous community members, who asked to remain anonymous, donated $15,000 and asked sheriff's deputies to surprise dozens of families in need with deliveries of gift cards as well as hundreds of dollars in cash for each household. The deputies identified families in need while working as school resource deputies or while on patrol speaking to community members. They chose families who were struggling to pay rent and some that were homeless. They also helped families coping with loss of a job, single moms who could not afford to provide Christmas for their children, parents struggling to care for disabled kids, as well as families coping with serious medical issues or loss of a family member. The gifts were handed out by deputies last week in the East County communities of Lemon Grove, Spring Valley, Rancho San Diego, Santee, Lakeside, Alpine, Ramona, and unincorporated El Cajon, as well as in several North County neighborhoods. The families' reactions were pure joy. Here's an audio clip of what happened when Deputy Juan Andrade delivered the unexpected gifts to two local households in need.
So we got something for you for Christmas. It's for you and your mom, okay? So look, there's some gift cards to Target and AMC, so you go to the movies and Starbucks. You like coffee?
Hot chocolate?
You like hot chocolate? So, and then some money for your mom so she can help you buy some presents, okay? You're welcome.
Thank you.
And your family was selected this year?
Really?
Yep.
That's so, a miracle.
How you doing? You want money?
Come say hi, Bryce.
What's your name? Haley?
We
how you doing?
We have four of them in here.
Well, we hope that this helps out for the holidays.
You have no idea
hey, buddy,
what a blessing
doing?
That is. We don't even have Christmas yet.
Really?
That's a miracle.
So hopefully this helps out.
No, that's really cool.
Guys, morning.
Isn't that so sweet?
That's awesome.
I'm glad that it helps out. So.
It really does.
Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. Thank you guys.
The Sheriff's Department thanks the Secret Santas for their donation and ask us to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
Legislators in New York and California have introduced bills that would require presidential candidates to make their tax returns public in order to have their names on these states' ballots starting in 2020. The measures are in response to President-elect Donald Trump's refusal to disclose his tax returns. California's measure is co-authored by State Senators Mike McGuire and Scott Wiener, both Democrats. Senator Wiener says Americans deserve honesty and transparency regarding potential conflicts of interest, such as those that Trump's business empire could pose if he makes decisions that could impact those corporate interests. Senator McGuire concludes, voters not only deserve full disclosure of their future leaders' tax returns, they should be entitled to them. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capitol Report. Environmental leaders are bracing for an assault on environmental protections if several key appointees of President-elect Donald Trump are confirmed by Congress. These appointees include an ExxonMobil CEO, governors and legislators who have denied climate change and lobbied for fossil fuel interests. Scott Pruitt, Trump's nominee to head the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, has sued the agency several times as Oklahoma Attorney General to weaken clean air and coal-fired power plant pollution regulations. The New York Times exposed that letters Pruitt sent to the EPA were actually written by lawyers for a major oil and gas company. He is also a climate change skeptic. As FactCheck.org notes, multiple surveys have found that of thousands of climate scientists worldwide, 97% agree that global warming is real and human-caused. Pruitt has also denied that fracking can pollute drinking water, although the EPA itself concluded earlier this month that fracking can negatively impact drinking water under some circumstances. Perhaps most controversial is Trump's nomination of retired 40-year ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State. Under his leadership, ExxonMobil funded studies to discredit climate change science, lobbied for oil and gas industry-friendly regulations, drew scrutiny for multiple pipeline spills, and negotiated deals with foreign governments, including dictators such as Vladimir Putin, and guerrilla insurgents that at times were at odds with U.S. national interests. Tillerson did, however, tweet support for the Paris Climate Accord, which Trump has said he wants to cancel. Tillerson once opposed U.S. sanctions against foreign enemies because it would harm oil industry investments. The book Private Empire, ExxonMobil and American Power described how Tillerson defied the U.S. government by negotiating an oil deal with the Kurdish regional government, sparking an international furor over oil agreements. Supporters say Tillerson, having led negotiations for a company with a budget the size of many nations, has experience in international dealings. But critics worry that even if he divests of his oil industry holdings, his loyalties in the industry may remain in question. Texas Governor Rick Perry is Trump's pick to serve as Secretary of State, a department that Perry previously said he wanted to dismantle. The department oversees not only energy, ranging from fossil fuels to clean power, it also has 60% of its budget devoted to nuclear security. Perry's support of the oil and gas industry in oil-rich Texas and his denial of human-caused climate change as a, quote, contrived phony mess, unquote, have raised alarm among environmentalists who fear research into clean energy alternatives and oversight of the fossil fuel industry will be curtailed. Native Americans have also voiced concern over Perry serving on the board of directors for the company that owns the Dakota Access Pipeline, which the Obama administration has said it would reroute after national protests to protect clean water. Perry's qualifications as Texas governor and former agricultural commissioner seem slim compared to the past two energy secretaries who held doctorates in physics, academic credentials from MIT and Stanford, and, in the case of Stephen Chu, a Nobel Prize. Trump has named Montana Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke as Secretary of the Interior Department, which oversees many federal lands, including national parks, such as Yosemite and the Grand Canyon. He has pushed to end a moratorium on federal coal leases on public lands, and like Trump's other nominees to key environmental posts, questions whether humans are responsible for climate change. An avid hunter and fisherman, however, Zinke does support keeping public lands under federal ownership, putting him at odds with some Republicans who want to privatize public lands or turn them over to the states. Environmental groups such as the Natural Resources Defense Council report a huge increase in donations since Trump has announced appointees who will likely seek to roll back hard-fought environmental protections aimed at safeguarding natural resources and public health. Eric Pica, president of Friends of the Earth, says environmentalists also aim to exert pressure on Congress to block nominees or prevent legislative assaults on environmental protections. Pica pledges, "We will be using the filibuster to block some of the more egregious laws that the Republicans that control Congress want to implement." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
The holiday season is a time when many people around the world hope for peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But now environmental leaders are bracing for an assault on environmental protections if several key appointees of President-elect Donald Trump are confirmed by Congress. The appointees include a retired CEO of ExxonMobil, governors and legislators who have denied climate change science and lobbied for fossil fuel interests. Scott Pruitt, Trump's nominee to head the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, has sued the agency several times as Oklahoma Attorney General to weaken clean air and coal-fired power plant pollution regulations. The New York Times exposed that letters Pruitt sent to the EPA were written by lawyers for a major oil and gas company. Pruitt has denied that fracking can pollute drinking water, though the EPA itself concluded earlier this month that fracking can negatively impact drinking water under some circumstances. He is also a climate change skeptic. As factcheck.org notes, multiple surveys have found that of thousands of climate scientists worldwide, 97% agree that global warming is real and human-caused. Perhaps most controversial is Trump's nomination of retired 40-year ExxonMobil chief executive officer Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State. Supporters say Tillerson, having led negotiations for a company with a budget the size of many nations, has experience in international dealings. But critics worry that even if he divests of his oil industry holdings, his loyalties after 40 years in the industry may remain in question. Under Tillerson's leadership, ExxonMobil funded studies to discredit climate change science, lobbied for oil and gas industry-friendly regulations, drew scrutiny for multiple pipeline spills, and negotiated deals with foreign governments, including dictators such as Vladimir Putin and guerrilla insurgents. Those deals were sometimes at odds with U.S. national interests. Tillerson once opposed U.S. sanctions against foreign enemies because it would harm oil industry investments. Texas Governor Rick Perry is Trump's pick to serve as Secretary of Energy, a department that Perry has previously said he wanted to dismantle. Famously, he once couldn't remember the name of the agency during a presidential debate when naming federal agencies he wanted to eliminate. The Energy Department oversees energy projects ranging from fossil fuels to wind and solar, but 60% of its budget is actually devoted to nuclear security. Perry's support of the oil and gas industry in oil-rich Texas and his denial of human-caused climate change as a, quote, phony mess, have raised alarm among environmentalists who fear that research into clean energy and oversight of the fossil fuel industry will be curtailed. Native Americans have also voiced concern since Perry is on the board of directors for the company that owns the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline. The Obama administration has said it would reroute after tribes led national protests to protect clean water. Perry's qualifications as Texas governor and former agricultural commission seem thin compared to the past two energy secretaries who held doctorates in physics and had academic credentials from MIT and Stanford. One of those secretaries, Stephen Chu, had won a Nobel Prize. Trump also named Montana Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke as his nominee for Secretary of the Interior Department, which oversees many federal lands, including national parks such as Yosemite and the Grand Canyon. Zinke has pushed to end a moratorium on federal coal leases on public lands, and, like Trump's other nominees to key environmental posts, questions whether humans are responsible for climate change. An avid hunter and fisherman, Zinke does not support keeping public lands under federal ownership, putting him at odds with some Republicans who want to privatize public lands or turn them over to the states. Environmental groups such as the National Resources Defense Council report a huge increase in donations since Trump announced appointees who will likely seek to roll back hard-fought environmental protections aimed at safeguarding natural resources and public health. Eric Pica, president of Friends of the Earth, says environmentalists also aim to exert pressure on Congress to block nominees and prevent legislative assaults on environmental protections. Pica says, "We will be using the filibuster to block some of the more egregious laws that the Republicans that control Congress want to implement." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This week, President-elect Donald Trump met with key leaders of tech companies from Silicon Valley to discuss job creation and promised he'd help them continue to innovate. But did he convince them or the public? It was a who's who of major tech players, Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and more. But the same day, California's Yahoo admitted as many as a billion users' information was stolen in a massive hack. So, people may wonder if the tech industry can be trusted to tackle job creation, let alone protect personal information, says California tech columnist Michelle Quinn.
The average person's trust just slithers away, you know, and that's a hard thing to get back.
Critics called the tech summit nothing more than a photo op with Trump's children in tow. But Quinn says looking beyond the theater, these companies respond to a political leader. And if a president signals that he really wants jobs, she thinks they will listen. Quinn warns there are legitimate concerns that the tech industry is growing faster than it can adjust to its flaws.
You know, you get into a car, you expect the car to work, you expect the car not to leak your information all over the place. And I think that the tech industry is still struggling over the bugginess of itself and also its security holes.
Another topic at the tech summit was staying competitive with China. Quinn says that's going to mean a serious commitment to education from the top down.
In the Bay Area, where I'm sitting right now, I'm very aware that tech companies have been pouring money into retraining and particularly high school and community college level. But is that the same in other parts of the country? And I don't know.
The Tech Summit participants have agreed to meet quarterly. For Public News Service, I'm Logan Pollard.
California's Supreme Court has temporarily blocked implementation of Proposition 66, a measure approved by voters in November that would speed up death penalty cases. The High Court issued the stay to allow time to hear arguments in a lawsuit filed by opponents of the measure. The lawsuit contends that Proposition 66 would suppress legitimate legal challenges, hinder attorneys' ability to represent their clients on death row, and increase expenditures of public funds. The case was filed by former California Attorney General John Vandekamp and attorney Ron Briggs. California has nearly 750 prisoners on death row, but no one has been executed in the states since 2006, when a federal judge halted the state's lethal injection process as a potential violation of cruel and unusual punishment prohibited by the U.S. Constitution. A replacement death penalty process is currently awaiting approval by the State Office of Administration Law. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
The holiday season is a time for giving and sharing. One La Mesa woman has a very unusual background. Her story begins back in 1953 when a Christmas song she sang as a 10-year-old child led to a huge donation, much to the delight of children across her community and the world. Gayla Peavy was a child singing star in Oklahoma when she performed a song titled "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas." "No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses, I only like hippopotamuses," she sang. Her hometown zoo didn't have a hippo. But after young Gayla debuted the unusual song on the Ed Sullivan TV show, her local newspaper encouraged people to send in donations to fulfill her holiday wish. Over $3,000 poured in, and soon a bouncing 700-pound baby hippo named Matilda was given to Gayla. The song went on to become a nationwide holiday hit that's still popular today, delighting and inspiring new generations of children. As for the hippopotamus, Gayla donated to her local zoo, where Matilda lived for over half a century, a symbol that anything is possible, provided you dream big. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ Radio, this is Rebecca Williamson.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Jonathan Getz. Changes will be coming to the Alpine area in the new year. By a 4-1 vote, the San Diego supervisors have voted to approve a general plan amendment that will allow development of parcels in the Alpine and Descanso areas that were formerly protected under the Forest Conservation Initiative. Only Supervisor Dave Roberts opposed the changes. The Forest Conservation Initiative that voters passed prevented the development of private properties located in or near Cleveland National Forest, but a sunset clause let the initiative expire in 2010. Jack Hsu, president of the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, said after the hearing, "The bottom line is that the county has moved to do away with what the voters, two-thirds of them, wanted in 1993 to protect our local forest." Opening up these lands to development was opposed by the Cleveland National Forest Foundation and other environmental groups, which argued that these lands are important wildlife corridors and habitat should be preserved. But at community meetings in Alpine, the majority of those who turned out supported the changes, arguing in favor of private property owners' rights to protect their property values and allow limited development of their lands, some of which are close to already developed areas such as Viejas Casino. Next up, the county's Department of Planning and Development Services is preparing to update the Alpine Community Plan for the first time since 1979. That process will include an infrastructure study for parts of Eastern Alpine, encompassing the 2,000 acres formerly protected under the Forest Conservation Initiative. The Alpine Mountain Empire Chamber of Commerce will provide information on the general plan update process at its January 10th Hot Topic Breakfast. In addition, the county will hold a series of town hall meetings over the coming year for the public to learn more and speak out on the proposed general plan updates.
At this time of year, most of us are getting our credit and debit cards out more often than normal. That means the chance that a cyber thief will try to steal your money or your identity increases as well. Shopping online can be a risk, but it's also easy to fall victim to scammers when using public Wi-Fi. Terry Warman of AARP Illinois says because we're so busy at this time of year, it's easy to let your guard down.
criminals will actually set up fake Wi-Fis around coffee shops, hotels, and other places so that the name will look similar and you log on to it, and now they have access to the information that you're using.
AARP says another common scam during the holidays is with gift cards. Thieves will take the numbers off cards on display in the stores, then wait for you to activate it after you purchase it. They then use the money that's on there for themselves. Werman says it's safer to buy those cards directly from a cashier. Werman says thieves are very observant, and you may never know they're watching.
They are extremely good at what they do. They also know our habit, getting on our mobile devices. They know we do that all the time. People know that we love deals.
And yes, she says it's safer to use credit cards rather than debit.
With a credit card, by law, you're only liable for up to $50 of the fraudulent amount. With a debit card, the law doesn't apply to that, and so you could be liable for the entire amount.
AARP has a Fraud Watch network online for tips on how to keep safe during the holidays. It's at aarp.org. For Public News Service, I'm Veronica Carter.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes a cribbage tournament, a brass band concert, and off-road excursions into the Anza Borrego Desert.
Plus, we'll tell you about coming attractions including New Year's Eve bashes in Alpine and La Mesa, an international music and art festival in Poway, a library concert, ice skating, a hike up Mount Helix, and a performance by Ben Vereen.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Parkway Plaza Shopping Mall invites you to enjoy a joyous selection of holiday songs featuring the Salvation Army Brass Band. The band will present a concert in the Macy's Court on Christmas Eve, December 24th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For details, visit shoppingparkwayplaza.com.
On December 27th, you're invited to the Cribbage Club of San Diego's meeting and tournament at the San Pasqual Winery Tasting Room in La Mesa. Cribbage is a card game of challenge and fun. If you've never played or are a bit rusty, you can come at 5 p.m. for lessons. A round-robin tournament runs from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Or you can just watch the action while enjoying wine and cheese. For more information, visit sanpasqualwinery.com.
Winter is a wonderful time to warm up with the visit to the Anza Borrego Desert. California Overland Adventures will be leading excursions to Split Mountain in the Anza Borrego Desert State Park each Thursday in December and early January, starting at 10:30 a.m. The adventure begins with an off-road ride in a military truck that rumbles into Split Mountain, where you'll see the enormous Slot Canyon and towering rock walls, where earthquakes and flooding split the mountain in half. Then a one-mile trek uphill will reward hikers with views of wind caves formed by erosion, with panoramic views of the desert below. Participants must be in good physical health for this excursion into a land of dramatic geological formations. For reservations or details on this or other desert adventures, you can visit californiaoverland.com.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Once again, Viejas Resort will host its signature New Year's Eve ball drop, reminiscent of the one in New York Times Square. You can rock the house with fellow revelers in the park at Viejas and party under the stars while awaiting the ball drop. Other options include cocktails in the park or party seating in the Oak Ballroom. For more information, you can visit viejas.com.
On December 31st, you're invited to a New Year's Eve bash co-hosted by La Mesa Wine Works and Bolt Brewery, located on Center Street in La Mesa. You can ring in the new year with a ticket that includes sparkling wine, party favors, a chance to win prizes, plus discounts on beer and wine. There will also be live music and barbecue foods available to purchase. An RSVP is required. You can get details at sanpasqualwinery.com.
Joe Rathburn will perform positive music that speaks to the listeners' hearts and minds on January 3rd at 6:30 p.m. in the Rancho San Diego Library. His music has been likened to singer-songwriters of the 60s and 70s, including Paul Simon, James Taylor, and Cat Stevens. He's performed at venues ranging from nightclubs to festivals to coffee houses, headlined his own shows as well as opening for top talent, including Chuck Berry, Ray Charles, The Guess Who, and Kiss.
An international music, dance, and art festival sponsored by the San Diego Chinese Art and Cultural Society will be presented on Saturday, January 7th at 7 p.m. on the Poway Performing Arts Center. The festival will not only promote the awareness of Chinese art and culture, but also embrace and promote other cultures. Scholarships will also be awarded to winners of the Youth Art Competition. For tickets and details, visit PowayCenter.com.
You're invited to start the new year on the right foot by joining the Grossmont Mount Helix Improvement Association's Walk Up Mount Helix on Saturday, January 7th at 10 a.m. Walkers will gather at the fire station on Vivera and stroll to the summit. At the amphitheater, enjoy live music by Jan McBride Jazz, tasty refreshments, and the beauty of this unique community. Children and dogs are welcome to participate.
Tony Award-winning Broadway icon Ben Vereen brings his show Steppin' Out Live with Ben Vereen to the Poway Center for the Performing Arts on January 12th at 7:30 p.m. The program is a unique blend of artistry combining a tribute to Broadway, Frank Sinatra, and a very special tribute to Sammy Davis Jr. This show includes Vereen's three-piece ensemble and Ben Vereen Youth Orchestra. For tickets and details, you can visit PowayCenter.com.
The largest outdoor ice skating rink in Southern California is open at Viejas from now through the holiday season until January 29th. Under the glow of holiday lights, guests and visitors can glide around the rink or enjoy seasonal goodies. Feel the cool Pacific Mountain air on your face while you bunny hop, camel spin, and swizzle your way around the ice rink right here in San Diego. For details, you can visit viejas.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County. See you around, East County. Before you power up the food processor for your holiday cooking, here's some news you need to know. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has announced a voluntary recall of 8 million Cuisinart food processors that were manufactured in China and sold nationwide from July 1996 through December 2015. Over time, the blades on these food processors can crack. Small metal pieces of blade can break off into the processed food. Conair, the maker of Cuisinart, has received 69 reports of consumers finding broken pieces of the blade in processed food, including 30 reports of mouth lacerations or tooth injuries. This is the largest kitchen appliance recall in the federal agency's history. CPSC Communications Director Scott Wolfson tweeted, "To find out if your food processor is included in the recall, you can visit recall.cuisinart.com or call their toll-free number at 877-339-2534. If you own a recalled model, you should immediately stop using the blade and contact Cuisinart for a free replacement. That number again is 877-339-2534 or visit recall.cuisinart.com. Meanwhile, you may want to ask family members and friends to help out in the kitchen, hand dicing and slicing up foods for your holiday meals. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ Radio, this is Rebecca Williamson.
This is Miriam Raftery, and I'm here with John Fastier. This holiday season, if you're looking for some safe conversation topics to liven up your next gathering with friends and family without bringing up politics, here are some fascinating holiday trivia facts to share.
Candy canes are stocking stuffer traditions, but they were actually invented to keep children quiet during church.
In medieval times, the main dish served at Christmas dinners was peacock, not turkey.
Jingle Bells was originally written for Thanksgiving, not Christmas.
Christmas trees were once considered pagan symbols, but today 350 million of them are grown on Christmas tree farms in the U.S., where 98% of all Christmas trees sold are now sustainably raised. A Christmas tree grows for 15 years on average before it is cut.
The world's tallest snowman was actually a snow woman, standing over 122 feet tall. She was built by townspeople in Bethel, Maine, with wreaths as eyes, skis for eyelashes, tires as buttons, and trees for her arms.
According to the Bible, magi, also known as wise men, brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Christ child born in a manger. The term magi derives from ancient Greece and Persia, where it meant magicians or astronomers.
The magi reportedly followed the Star of Bethlehem. To this day, scientists are not sure what that star was. Possibly a conjunction of two planets, a comet, a supernova, or something else that lit up the sky.
The first electric Christmas lights to light up the sky were invented by Thomas Edison.
Hanukkah is also called the Festival of Lights. A menorah is lit for 8 nights and traditionally placed in a window to remind the outside world of the miracle of oil that burned for 8 days after rededication of a temple in Jerusalem.
Originally, the only Hanukkah gifts were small amounts of money known as gelt, a tradition that was designed to teach children the importance of charity.
The first Hanukkah party in the White House was hosted by President George W. Bush, a tradition that continues to this day.
The most popular Christmas song of all times, White Christmas, was written by Irving Berlin, a Jewish songwriter.
Americans spend 6 times more on gifts than food during the holiday season, but they are also more apt to donate to charities at this time of year.
Santa Claus would have to travel at over 5 million miles per hour in order to deliver presents to all of the children on Earth in a single night.
The tradition of making New Year's resolutions was started by the ancient Babylonians, who actually celebrated the New Year in springtime. The most common resolution was to return borrowed farm equipment.
Roman Emperor Julius Caesar established the Julian calendar that we use today, with January 1st as the first day of the new year.
Today, the most common resolution is to lose weight. Not surprising, since the average Christmas dinner in America contains over 7,000 calories.
Dropping a ball in Times Square to ring in the new year began in 1907 because fireworks had been banned as too dangerous. The ball has been a New Year's tradition ever since, except in 1942 and 1943 when it was canceled due to wartime restrictions.
The first ball was made of iron and wood, adorned with 100 light bulbs. It weighed 700 pounds. Nowadays, the ball weighs nearly 12,000 pounds and shimmers with 2,668 Waterford crystals.
All year long, visitors to Times Square in New York City write their New Year's wishes on pieces of confetti. At the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve, those wishes are included in over a ton of confetti that showers the crowd gathered to ring in the new year. And now from all of us at East County Magazine, to all of you, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, joyous Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year.
This is Jonathan Getz with the report from the Arctic Tundra for East County Magazine on KNSJ. Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, and Rudolph may need a little extra help in the future years to carry Santa's presents. Scientists studying reindeer in the Arctic recently presented findings to the British Ecological Society. The researchers reported that reindeer today are substantially smaller than in the past, weighing 12% less than they did 16 years ago. The reason? Global warming, says study leader Steve Albin with the James Hutton Institute in Scotland. Land surfaces are 5 degrees hotter than when record keeping began a century ago. That means more rain, which freezes on top of snow, covering lichen that the reindeer need to fatten up for the winter. In Siberia, 61,000 reindeer actually starved to death during the winter 2 years ago. But in the Norwegian Arctic, where the latest study was done, reindeer numbers are actually increasing. The reindeer are giving birth to more, but smaller young, shrinking reindeer, an evolutionary adaptation that scientists hope will help the species survive despite diminished food supplies.
This is Liz Alper with a report from college football bowl season. San Diego State Aztecs football traveled to Vegas for their bowl bid against the University of Houston. The Cougars tallied first with a field goal by senior kicker Ty Cummings to go up 3-0 early. Later on, after a big completion to freshman wideout Keith Corbin, standout senior quarterback Greg Ward Jr. ran it in himself for the score and the Cougars took a 10-0 lead. SDSU finally got on the board in the second with sophomore kicker John Barron II's field goal and Houston led 10-3. Barron kicked his 21st field goal of the season when the Aztecs failed to score in the red zone and SDSU was within 4 at the half, 10-6. In the third quarter, senior running back Danelle Pumphrey finally broke loose, first with a sideline catch good for 26 yards and a first down and then a 32-yard touchdown run to give the Aztecs their first lead of the game, 13-10. Houston was threatening when freshman Ron Smith intercepted a screen pass and returned it for a pick six, and SDSU increased their lead to 10, 20-10. SDSU's defense has the most interceptions out of all defenses in the country. In the fourth quarter, Pumphrey broke Wisconsin great Ron Dane's record for career rushing yards in FBS history with a 15-yard run. He has 6,402. After a big fourth down stop by senior linebacker Calvin Munson, the Aztecs offense took the field and on one play, redshirt sophomore quarterback Christian Chapman passed over the middle to a wide open Curtis Anderson III and a senior transfer took it in for another score and the Aztecs led 27-10. Freshman running back Juwan Washington put the nail in the coffin with a short rushing touchdown and San Diego State won their second consecutive bowl game 34-10. Capping off a fairy tale final year for the senior class and for the new FBS leader in career rushing yards, Pumphrey himself.
On December 24th, back in 1775, Juan Bautista de Anza's colonizing expedition from Spain spent the night in Coyote Canyon, an area that's now part of the Anza Borrego Desert in Borrego Springs. Writer Dick Overturf penned these words about that ordeal. It was Noche Buena, Christmas Eve, in Anza's camp. It was cold, foggy, and rainy. Earlier, it had been snowing. Everyone and everything was wet. Babies were crying. Women were weeping. Dead cattle lay on the ground. Hundreds of horses, mules, burros, and cattle were milling around Maria Gertrudis Rivas, who was in labor. Few could sleep, and the mountain Cahuilla Indians were watching. Who were these intruders? Soldiers and settlers in De Anza's expedition had been on the march north from Mexico for 87 days when they reached Coyote Canyon, seeking the promised land at Mission San Gabriel. An earthquake struck that night also, rattling the group's composure amid the bitter cold. After Friar Pedro Font recited evening prayers or vespers, Colonel Anza distributed a potent brandy drink, aguardiente, to raise his soldiers' morale. Friar Font took offense, declaring that it is not right to celebrate the birth of the infant Jesus with drunkenness, to which De Anza replied, "I do not give it to them to get drunk." He insisted that the king had ordered the brandy for the soldiers, but warned that if any soldier was found drunk outside his tent, he would be punished. Friar Font later reported that the people that night were so noisy, singing and dancing from the effects of the liquor, not caring that we were in so bad a mountain in the rain, and so delayed with the saddle animals and tired cattle, but such is the rule of those absolute lords. This was not the first time Friar Font had scolded the expedition's commander. Just 1 week earlier, a fandango, or jubilant dance and feast, was held. The fandango at San Felipe, said Font, was somewhat discordant, and a very bold widow who came with the expedition sang some verses which were not at all nice, applauded and cheered by all the crowd. Now, at the Christmas Eve encampment in Coyote Canyon, after the celebration died down, the friar comforted a soldier's wife who had been in labor since the day before. She was fearful of dying, and I consoled her as best I could, he wrote. Shortly before midnight on Christmas Eve, the soldier's wife gave birth to a baby boy, who was christened Salvador Ignacio Linares. He was the third child born on the expedition, and the first white child born in California. A monument honoring the baby's birth on the eve of the nativity still stands today, about 2.25 miles from Anza Ridge, near the San Diego County line. The day after the child's birth, the weary band of travelers rested before continuing on their way. Father Font delivered a sermon and then wished them all Feliz Navidad, or Merry Christmas. Next up, we have an excerpt of Vivaldi's Gloria this Christmas season, performed by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra. Next up, the U.S. Air Force Band performs one of my favorite holiday songs, Sleigh Ride. Thank you. Finally, we'll end our show today with the children's choir performing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And from all of us at East County Magazine to all of you, our listeners, we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, festive Hanukkah, and a joyous New Year.
Baritone.
In a year, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Precious friends who are dear to us,
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.